Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another edition of the Tool Shed on Colonial Sports Network and also on the DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcast Network. I'm Austin Bechtel alongside Ethan Morrison, Tyler Gallo, and Nick Hedrick, as always. With Robert Morris splitting the season series at home against the Oakland Golden Grizzlies, taking game one against the Golden Grizzlies at home Friday night, 88-82, the final in a double overtime thriller, followed by a loss in game two Saturday night to Oakland, 86-81, Robert Morris falling in regulation. But that's not the big news of the weekend. The big news coming as A.J. Brahma has decided to transfer out of the program, leaving with only a couple weeks left in the regular season. Big breaking news that we were able to confirm here at CSN. And Ethan, it was just huge news. I wouldn't say it was completely surprising, but when I first heard it, I was a little taken back with it, just because of how much time is left in the regular season.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you don't see guys normally transfer out with this less time left in the season. I mean, there's two more, or the series is over now, but there was technically two more series before this game, and when he transferred out, it was kind of a bit of a shock to me, just because we've seen him play, see how good he has been playing. But you know, the writing was on the wall. I mean, we heard on January 29th that he did not travel with the program due to a team pause, according to a team official. And then in the Youngstown State series, we saw him. His body language was off. His body language was very bad. I mean, he just wasn't really there. I mean, he still put up good numbers, but you know, his body language was bad. So I mean, you could kind of see him progress these past couple of weeks to see why he might have transferred out of the program. And you know, it's sad to see him go, but you know, you got to move on.
Yeah, against Youngstown State, really just was yelling at teammates, wasn't really getting along with the coaching staff very well. It was all spiraling downhill, and it basically all was a part of it going into this decision. Nick, what do you think of Brahma's departure, and what did you think of RMU's response? As it was announced about 4 hours before tip-off on Friday night, and the team came out and backed up their whole program and came out with a win.
I'm not entirely surprised on what we saw in terms of him leaving. Just you and Ethan both touched on the body language, and I kind of was like a AJ Brahma cam when I was there for that Youngstown State first matchup on that Friday. And again, this isn't meant to come off as like a knock on AJ Brahma or anything. I don't know him personally. We might if we talk to him, if we can pull that off. But, you know, I saw him yelling at a lot of teammates. Some swearing was involved at Cam Wilbon after one particular moment when Wilbon turned the ball over when Brahma was wide open. And then just, you know, his body language, sitting down really aggressively on the chair they had for him, smacking that little bucket they have for each player away, the visual's kind of funny. But and then, you know, just overall the body language, him seeing really defeated. And being as good of a player as he is, I'm sure it was tough to have to pause and go that many times, and then the team's losing, and, you know, there's potential that, and not just in our opinions, which I think we might all agree on, but, you know, other people's opinions that, you know, he could play professionally and make a living playing basketball, whether it be here or across overseas. And so when you're trying to up your personal brand that much and the team keeps bringing you down, I'm sure it's frustrating.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, like you said, he's such a talented and good player on this team. And, you know, I don't know what you guys think. I think he's the top five player in the conference, probably maybe even top three.
When you're that far ahead in terms of scoring and rebound, scoring, he wasn't ahead. But to answer your other question that you brought up earlier, the team's response, I think all you need to know is what Tool said last night, which is about when he was saying he wants to talk about, or last night rather, when he said, you know, I want to talk about the guys that are here that want to win. Because I think Coach Tool's no stranger to losing players. Guys like Kobe Thomas, Chris Coleman, Jalen Hawkins, DJ Russell, all leaving with very recent memory. Coach Tool knows better than anyone how to move on and rally around the guys that he has with them. And I thought, you know, six guys scoring in double figures on Friday, It was a team response, and we saw it when he missed that Wright State game, the first game. You know, the team response they had, where they played Wright State really well. And then, much like the Wright State series, they dropped the second game, but they showed a lot of fight in the second game this series as well, as opposed to that Wright State game. So I can't speak. I know that was it Williams or somebody said, you know, no hard feelings here. We won together. Wish him nothing but the best. But I think there's a fire. Like, if you're gonna, I don't want to say quit on us, but you know, if you want to leave the team, pursue better options, you know, we're going to show you what we can do. And I think they did that on Friday, and I still think they showed it on Saturday despite the loss.
Yeah, I agree. Tyler, what did you make of the whole weekend in general and Brahma's departure?
Look, I think they played better without him. Let's be real. I mean, the chemistry was unmatched in these two games. The ball movement was incredible. In the second game, actually, after it, I was talking to Andy Toole. He said the exact same thing. I think we've grown as a team, and in terms of chemistry and ball movement and all that stuff, that we've done so much better. I mean, granted, when you get down 19 in any game, you're not going to be able to come back. That's just really how it goes sometimes. And they showed a lot of fight in the second game. And in the first game, I thought they played phenomenally well. Khalil Spear really had a coming out party of sorts in that second game, or in the first game. And in the second game, John Williams on his senior day went off. So, you know, I wasn't surprised at all, because he was at arms with Chico Johnson, one of the assistant coaches, I mean, for that entire Youngstown State series. So I could see it coming, and we could all see it coming a mile away. And, you know, it's just wish him the best, but they have to move forward.
Yeah, great points there. And as you mentioned, Khalil Spear stepped into the starting lineup, played really well. Chris Shovlin said on the broadcast, John Williams set a career high in points. He ended up having 22. He was 7-10 from behind the arc. What do you make of Williams – and Spear, for that matter, stepping up and filling this role? You know, we always mentioned that John Williams needed to do something in the middle part of the season to be able to elevate the offense a little bit. Nick, do you think that this is kind of what he's starting to do now, just maybe a little bit too late for the offense?
I'd say so, and I'd like to put it on public record that I love everything about John Williams. You know, him talking after the Youngstown State game last week, when he just kind of talked about how, even though he had a double-double and made possibly the most ice and vein shot of the season with that step back three pointer. You know, he was saying he didn't think he played that well. And I think for him to go up there and say that, and admit, you know, I can be better, is just a testament for everything that he stands for. And we saw that clash with his brother as well. But it's great to see scoring on this team from someone other than AJ Brahma. You know, a big talking point and a lot of stuff I've written has been, or said on this show, has been, you know, that secondary player, that secondary scoring. And to see John Williams get that confidence to let it fly, and then to see Khalil Spear emerge into his own, get comfortable with what he's doing here at RMU, I think it's great. It stinks that this is all happening late in the season, but, I mean, there's Horizon League tournament play to be had. And, you know, they can win a game, they can win two games and say, hey, look, you know, we're the new guys on the block, but we know how to get it done. We figured things out, and, you know, in the coming years, you better look out for us.
Yeah, I mean, to speak about John Williams, I mean, he started his whole career. I mean, he started his whole career at point guard. I mean, he's been playing his whole career. He's been grinding, and he's playing some of his best basketball of his career as of late. I mean, 22 points today in the loss, but you can just see that he's showing that confidence, that swagger, and showing that he has that senior leadership and being able to contribute at the level that he is. I mean, it's very nice to see after the years of him just grinding and being that playmaker and being that team player, and that now we can finally see his shot kind of come into form.
Yeah, definitely agree with that. Tyler, anything to add on John Williams and Khalil Spear?
Yeah, so I spoke to John after the game. I asked him if he uses this 22 points as a sort of a momentum builder going forward, and he said, look, I don't go into every game trying to score 20 points. I go in just trying to do what I'm asked to. And that's something that you really love to hear out of a player like of his ilk, and of a player that just goes out there and puts on a hard hat and goes out there and goes to work. That's really what all you can say about John Williams. Khalil Spear, we've been high on him all season. We said he was going to be really good, especially coming over from the Patriot League with Bucknell. And you could see it a lot at his time there, but he's sort of becoming maybe sort of a leader on this offense. I mean, especially because he's been the guy that they're now relying on to get those big to block the big bodies and get down low and get some blocks, get some shots, and dunk too. So, I mean, he's sort of assuming that role. He's not going to replicate AJ Brahma. Nobody can really do that. That's really tough to do, but I think he's doing his best AJ Brahma impression right now.
Yeah, and just going back to John Williams, I really like, as you mentioned, Tyler, just the type of team player that he is. He's the type of guy that if you're a coach or if you're a player on the team, you want him as a teammate. You want him as a player on your team just because of the mentality that he sets. If you don't win the game, he doesn't take many moral victories away from it. It's about winning, and it's not about the numbers, and you really respect that from him. So in the Colonials' double overtime win against the Golden Grizzlies, Colonials tied it to after one overtime, I should say, after the teams both recorded only 6 points before Robert Morris was able to win 88-82 thanks to an 11-5 margin in the second overtime to be able to pull away late and take the game. In this matchup against Oakland, your leading scorer was indeed Khalil Spear with 16 points, followed by, how about Enoch Cheeks? Yes, yes, clap it up for Khalil Spear. Big, big, big fans of Khalil Spear here on the program. And Enoch Cheeks with a nice 15 points as well.
And
shot pretty well from the field. Not so much at the free throw line, but we've seen throughout the whole season that free throws have been, you know, a bugaboo for the team. Only shot 52% on Friday night. Another just terrible day at the charity strike when they're not taking the charity that is being given to them. The free throws are not free, I guess you could say. Also in double figures was John Williams and Dante Tracy, as well as Trayden Williams with 10 and also Charles Bane with 12. We saw Charles Bane play maybe, Ethan, his best game in 2 years. Is that easy to say?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, he played very well on both sides of the floor. He went 2-for-2 from beyond the arc, which is something that we've really haven't seen in a long time. Shot well from his mid-range shot was actually pretty good on Friday night as well. I mean, so yeah, like you said, I think he played his best game in over 2 years.
And he's the team's active leading scorer, which I learned earlier today.
Good point.
It's either him or Will.
Yeah.
No, it was definitely him.
It's him.
Another thing I wanted to bring up, I'm not sure if Austin was going to take it this way or not, was the bench scoring both games. I believe 31-5 they outscored them on bench scoring.
It was just outrageous.
Friday night. Tonight, in a losing effort, it was like 28-8 or something. I think there are a lot of guys involved. I haven't seen that aside from teams that have been on very long hiatuses. Is that the plural of hiatus? Is it hiatuses?
Maybe.
I think it's just hiatus.
Is it just hiatus?
Hiatuses or something
this
like
is
that.
This the comedy portion
Look,
of the show.
I was really impressed today, actually, with Pat Sumnick. I mean, he didn't really get too much, but he got more minutes today with Elisa Gennady being out, being sick. And Sumnick went out there. I mean, he scored 7 points, which is the most of his career so far. And I think both Toole and Williams after the game said he's going to develop into a premier Horizon League forward. He's not going to be flashy or anything like that, but he's got all the tools to put it all together and be a really good player for this team.
DJ Russell had all the tools.
All right.
And he left.
All right. I'm going to say this. I've been hard on him all year, but Trayden Williams finally is coming around and going into being a great guard on this
Ethan
team.
Just
I don't think we've been harder on anyone than we've been harder on Trayden Williams.
I am so happy for him. Just his playmaking ability. He put someone on skates Friday night going up for a layup. That was very nice to see. Just him being able to distribute the ball and then taking smart shots. He had 10 points in the win Friday night and then seven points today in the loss. And his 3-point shots, he's been able to hit some. He's playing so much better than we saw him earlier in the year. It's probably because they're playing more games consecutively and not having to stop and go as much. So, I mean, congrats to him. Hopefully he can keep it up going into the latter half of the season.
He has been beautiful. I mean, good Lord. He's actually figuring out when to shoot. That's the biggest problem. That was the biggest knock on him at the beginning of the year, is that he would just shoot. Shoot, no matter what, and it would never go in. But now, I mean, he can get the ball to the hoop. He's got incredible handles, and he's almost lethal from that little jump shot he does from, like, the free throw line. I mean, that's just a beautiful shot of his, and I think that going forward, he's going to continue to develop into one of the better guards on this team.
Yeah, I've been hard on Trayden Williams a lot, and, you know, he I don't want to copy what Ethan's saying, but he has really impressed me just with his – the handles were great. he's not forcing up shots. He's not using the handles to create space to put up bad shots when he's still being guarded heavily and closely. So he's being smarter with the ball. I think part of that is with not having a lot of non-conference games to be able to weave that out, or not having that much coaching and practice, having the few amount of practices that the team has been able to have this year, we're starting to see Trey Williams coming in on his own in that regard and take those smarter shots and be an overall more efficient player.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's hard to not like what he's been doing these last couple of weeks. I mean, him and Enoch Cheeks as well. Cheeks has been very aggressive getting to the hoop, and we saw it on Friday with that big performance of his. And these are two guys that are going to be important for this team going forward, as we've said before, and they're showing why they're going to be the important guards on this team going forward, especially these last two games. Now, as they go into Detroit Mercy, I'm not sure how they're going to style the lineup in the last series of the year. I mean, because they've got playoffs still, and they likely will be playing Oakland or some team around there. So it's going to be a huge, huge test for them over these last, you know, three or so games.
There will be a tournament to play. Will the Colonials end up, if it is going to be last? It more than likely could be, will be, and then facing a team like Oakland or maybe Youngstown State, what yet still to be figured out and decided. But Saturday's matchup against Oakland, as I said earlier, ended in a 5-point loss, 86-81. You started to see some late life from RMU, kind of bouncing back in the last minute, getting a couple steals and some turnovers by the Golden Grizzlies led to some points. John Williams had a chance to cut it to a 2-point game with only about 15 seconds to go. Shot didn't go. But it was good to see the fight from the team. Overall, the leading scorer in that one, as we mentioned, was John Williams. Dante Tracy had a good game. Probably his best game in recent memory, 16 points. Charles Bain was also pretty decent as well on senior night. 12 points and 7 rebounds. Khalil Spear, 8 points and 9 rebounds as well. Nick, what did you make of the overall effort of the team today? And what do you think moving into the last series of the year against Detroit Mercy?
Well, you know, like I said, they didn't stop fighting. They outscored them in the second half, which has become a very rare occurrence, kind of like seeing a rainbow in the wintertime.
Charles Bain 3.
I guess, or Charles Bain 3. I love Charles Bain, though. I'm not going to.
You don't see rainbows in winter very often.
No, you do not, which is I don't think that was the best analogy I could have made, but alas. As for the Detroit Mercy series, they've won 6 in a row. Don't know how they've done tonight, Saturday, when we're recording.
They are currently trailing Cleveland State 51-43, but they did
Cleveland
win.
State, number 2 team in the conference.
Yeah, they did beat Cleveland State last on Friday night, however.
Okay, so they're either going to win 7 in a row or 6 of their last 7.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of momentum, whether they lose tonight or not. But, you know, we've seen RMU hang in with basically everyone they've played. I don't think their record is reflective of how good and talented of a team this is. I think it's been hard to find an identity given everything going on. So next weekend, I think they just do whatever. And that might sound very, like, duh. But, I mean, this is a team that has nothing to lose next
right.
weekend.
Play Jacari
so
Spence.
Go out there, try some new stuff out with some of the younger guys, try some different lineup mixes. I don't care what it is. Go out there, see what works. You know, see who steps up with the new opportunity and maybe you get some momentum going into the tournament. Maybe you don't. But I think next weekend they go in there and they just throw stuff against the wall and see what sticks.
What yeah. do you guys think of Cam Ferris in the starting lineup? Plays a decent amount in the first half, but then is pretty much invisible in the second half, the last two games.
Well, here's what happened. He made a lot of errors.
I know he was dealing with some foul trouble.
He also made a lot of errors. I mean, he led a 3-point foul shot. He threw a couple of balls out of bounds, made some inopportune passes. I mean, the guy's icy from deep. He's just incredible to watch when he shoots from the deep ball because, I mean, he hits it more than pretty much anyone. But he's got to know when to stop being, you know, so aggressive with the ball and sort of just facilitate a little bit. I mean, he's got to calm down up there. I mean, he's a freshman. I'm not going to knock on him at all for the season he's had and nobody at all because it's a COVID year. But Cam Ferris made, I want to say, 4 or 5 errors in the first half in the second game, and he was on the bench for the remainder of the game.
Well, when you're a team that lacks shooters, you want to be able to have a guy like Cam Ferris be efficient, and you're right. He did make a bunch of errors. You'd like to see, though, in a season right now where you're really not playing for much anymore, your positioning in the tournament is pretty much already decided, and you're not going to be going that far. I mean, the momentum on this team is just not there right now. So I don't understand why you just don't play a lot of those younger guys now. I get it today because of senior day. But I'm a little surprised that he doesn't see as much time in the second half still, just because of the youth on this team that's going to have to play in the future.
Oh yeah, I mean, I completely agree. I mean, the guard class that they brought in this year, I mean, they're going to turn into something special, especially when John Williams does leave after this year. I feel like these guys are going to come into, like, what they're going to mold into a player that they should be, like Trayden Williams, for example. He's going to be that playmaker. He's going to be that guy to create some space, some separation. Then you got Enoch Cheeks, who's an excellent defender. And if he can work a little bit more on his shot, he's going to be very, very, a very, very good option for Andy Toole. And Cam Ferris, I mean, he's a great shooter as well. Just needs to clean up some things. Passing the ball, turning the ball over a little bit too much, but you know, they're going to be something special down the road. So I'm really looking forward to it. If Tool, like Nick said, if they can just incorporate some more of the younger guys next week, I feel like they're going to be set up better for the future.
It was I mean, we saw a little bit of the playmaking from Trayden Williams today. He fed a phenomenal alley-oop pass to Khalil Spear to start off the second half, I believe, or after a media timeout. And, you know, he's probably learning from Dante Tracy, who passes like the best of them out there. And, you know, when you have – they're in good hands going forward. That's pretty much all you can say. Their guard class has been phenomenal. I mean, I've been really, really impressed with Enoch Cheeks when he has gotten into games. He's been very aggressive to the hoop. He's been able to get the tough baskets. That's been the biggest thing with him. He gets the best contested shots I've ever seen. So I'm very proud of how they've played this year.
Yeah. So let's preview coming up the Detroit Mercy Titans. Detroit Mercy is 9-8 overall. They're 8-5 in the conference, but like Ethan and Nick mentioned, they're on a 6-game winning streak heading into the series against the Colonials, with the game against Cleveland State still yet to be decided. That was a 7:00 tip off as of the filming of this episode of the Tool Shed on Saturday. So what do you think? What do you think has to happen for Robert Morris with a Friday night game on the road starting at 6:00, followed by a Saturday afternoon game beginning at 5:00 on February 19th and 20th? Tyler, what's your keys to the game in this last regular season series for RMU and their first ever regular season in the Horizon League?
I mean, continue to build on the momentum you built in these two games. They played very well, especially losing their best player. I mean, if they can continue to have the chemistry they had in these two games, continue to move the ball well, and iron out those unforced errors, like Andy Toole said, they had a lot of unforced errors in these games, I think that they will be just fine with Detroit Mercy, because Detroit Mercy is a team that's just like the last couple of teams they've played. I mean, Youngstown State and Oakland are as similar to Detroit Mercy as any other team in the conference. So if they continue to just play well, I think they can sneak out of the series with at least one win.
I also got to say, I mean, just keep fighting. I mean, they haven't been out of many games this year. So I feel like if Robert Morris can just play their game, play the way they've been playing, and something's going to bounce their way at some point in these last two games. I mean, Detroit Mercy is a tough team. But, you know, just hopefully these younger guards can step up and contribute, as well as John Williams, if he can put together another strong performance. I mean, they'll be in good shape this weekend.
Nick,
what? You blew out my eardrums and I can't remember
the
question now.
What do you think about these Mercy series up the regular season?
Well, I don't know what more there could to be said, really. I think, like Gallo said, you take the positives away from this weekend and try to apply it to next weekend, and I still stand by my statement of throw things against the wall and see what sticks. They have nothing to lose and everything to gain, so why not just go out and see what works?
Yeah, I think, you know, maybe play some of these younger guys more. I mean, you don't want to take away some time from John Williams with how good he's playing right now. But you're going to have some bigs come in next year in terms of Winston and Stone, and you're going to have a lot more size. And having these guards, I'd like to see them play more. I'd like to see some more rotations of Trey Williams, Enoch Cheeks, and Cam Ferris all playing together. Now, I know with having those bigger guys, you're probably not going to have them play as much, those three together on the court at the same time. But I kind of want to see it. I want to see the facilitating of Trey Williams and the shot-making of Cam Ferris on display, and also the flashiness that is provided by Enoch Cheeks as well. So I think if that's the possibility for Andy Toole to want to look at and see, I think that that would be one of the things that the coaching staff should definitely take advantage of before the Horizon League Championship tournament begins starting on the 25th of February.
And I believe that Coach Toole should go into the tool shed, get some mulch and lay down the mulch and, you know, see what sprouts in terms of what his players can do.
Do you think we'll see the debuts of
to try way too hard to make tool and garden puns?
Do you think we'll see the debuts of since the last games of the year, you think we'll see the debuts of Chase Cook and Jakari Spence? I mean, I know they're not the greatest guards off the bench because they have all those other guys, but I think they might get into a game at some point. I'm not sure what's been up with Terrell Brown. He's been in street clothes on the bench. But maybe they'll get those guys a chance to get in, especially if any of the games get out of hand. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, 100%. Anybody else have anything left to add before we wrap up this edition of the Tool Shed?
No, just fight. Just keep fighting.
Playoffs, baby!
Keep fighting. keep seeing what's going on with the program. So that does it for another edition of the Tool Shed here on Colonial Sports Network and also the DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcast Network. Robert Morris now with a record of 4-12, 3-10 in conference play, will now travel to Detroit Mercy in their last series of the year, now in Michigan, starting off on Friday, February 19th at 6:00 Eastern time, and February 20th, which will be Saturday, followed up at 5:00 here, our time in Moon Township. That does it for Austin Bechtold, Ethan Morrison, Tower Gallo, and Nick Hederick. We will see you very soon here on the Tool Shed, and wish Robert Morris Cardinals luck with the rest of the regular season.